morning, everyone. Are you excited about the rain that we've had this week? It's been awesome. I think all of our grass and gardens needed some rain. So why don't you stand with us this morning as we go to Lord in worship, and let's just thank Him for that.
I was lost in shame, could not get past my pain, till He called my name. I'm so glad He changed, Miss Darkness held me down, but Jesus pulled me out, now I'm no longer bound. I'm so glad He saved me, see I'm now a new creation in Christ. The old has gone, there's new life, I live by faith, not by.
Your name is written down in glory. Amen. Welcome to Noble Assembly of God today. We're so glad that you are here. Thank the Lord for this wonderful day. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you would just bless today, minister in the service today. We just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to be here and worship you and praise you in your house. Guide and direct everything that is said and done today. We ask in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated.
No matter how old we are, we always remember what our dads say and do.
My dad is more like Jesus than your dad.
Nuh-uh. My dad doesn't let anybody eat any food until we pray for it.
My dad prays for 1 minute every day.
You know what? Our church has pancakes.
This is what my sister Rob used for their blush.
My dad says that mean kids never know what they're talking about, because their parents don't know what they're talking about either.
My dad says to punch meanies in the face.
Then my mom says, don't ever do that.
And my dad goes to time out.
No! My dad's beard is itchy whenever he kisses me.
My dad takes me to church so we could learn to be just like Jesus.
My daddy prays for me. Then he makes me stop talking and go to bed. Then I get a flashlight and read my comic book.
That's a sin. He's sinning.
No, I'm not.
Sinner.
No, I'm not.
R2.
I'm not.
My dad said that if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it.
My dad never stays mad at me.
My dad taught me to forgive, because Jesus forgives us every time we ask.
I want a mohawk.
I wish I had hair.
It's okay. Your hair will probably grow back.
Thanks for being our dads for all our lives.
And happy Father's Day today to all of the dads who wish they had hair. Yes, yes. All right. Amen. Next Saturday's our Easter outreach, so if you could want to be a part of that and help us, we need lots of help. There's a sign-up sheet out there in the foyer. There's posters that you can take, maybe pass around the neighborhood. That's what all these bikes are up here for. If they can have Christmas in July, we can have Easter in June, right? Yeah, so we're going to be giving away all these 12 bikes, plus lots of candy and lots of fun here. 11 o'clock next Saturday, Pastor Phil and Pastor Chad will be running the show, and so we hope to have a great number of kids here and families be praying for that. And like I said, if you can help us, that would be awesome. There is no intercessory prayer on Tuesday of this week. That has been canceled. So just note that. Those of you who are a part of that ministry, that's not going to happen. Lots of other announcements in your bulletin. So make yourselves aware of those. Pastor Phil and his family is on vacation today. And so that's why the announcement time is not near as exciting as it would be if he's here. You know, you got the second guy here that doesn't know how to make exciting announcements. So. Amen. Go ahead and laugh a little. Make me feel good anyway. Amen. Hey, we're going to receive our offering right now. If our ushers would come. Thank you for your giving. Amen. And if you are a guest today, your first time, fill out the card there on the seat back in front of you. You can place it in the offering. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for being with us today. Amen. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to worship you in giving. We thank you, Lord, for our tithes and offering this morning. We just pray that you would bless both the gift and the giver in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. The worship team is going to come back and continue to lead us in worship. We're in for a great day today. Pastor Dean and Joy is here. They're going to be speaking in just a little while. Pastor Dean, I guess, more than Joy speaking. And Joy may be speaking. I don't know. Pastor Dean said he didn't know what in the world he was preaching on today. He just told me that, so... anyway, bless you, worship team. Amen.
So once the offering plate passes by, you'll stand back once again, and we'll go back in to worship.
I count on one thing, the same God that never fails. He will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late. He's working all things out. You're working all things out. Oh, yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will. Your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will. Well, I count on one thing, the same God that never fails. Will not fail me now, and you won't. The same God that's never late, He's working all things out. You're working all things out.
Father, Lord, that even when we go through the valley, that you're there and you're with us, Lord, and we can just praise you through the hard times. We can praise you through the good times. And even though the hard times are the most difficult, I think that's when we praise you the most, because it's the only way we can make it through is praising and glorifying you. Because we know that you're there and you're going to take care of it. You've got a plan. You've already got it worked out. And you know how we're going to make it through. And we just have to lean on you. We just want to sing praises to you this morning, Lord. We just want to glorify your name. We just praise you, Jesus. We just glorify the name of the Lord, for you are worthy. You are worthy. We just praise. You, Father, Lord. We just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Behold the Father's heart, the mystery He lavishes on us as deep cries out to deep. How desperately He wants us. Things of earth stand next to Him like a candle to the sun. Unfailing Father, what compares to then.
cleanse my soul. My God, He who was and is to come, prepare the way until the watch as a cloud he rides, swing low. Lift up the sound as he makes our praise his throne. Behold the Lord our God.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We want to pray for our nation this morning. Pray for what's happening across our land. Pray for revival. Pray for healing. Pray for our president. Pray for our governor. Pray for our leaders. Also, we want to pray for Robert James this morning. How many of you remember Robert when he attended here? Let me see your hand. Robert has been given just a short time to live due to cancer. And he's Shirley's asking that we remember him in prayer this morning, and so certainly we want to do that. So I would just like for us to just take a few moments here and especially pray for Robert, but pray for our nation as well and for the Lord to do a special work in this time. We're living in difficult days, and we need the Lord's hand upon us. So could you just join me in prayer this morning? Let's just all pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, today, and we thank you, Lord, that you are the healer, that you are the restorer, that you are the way maker, the miracle worker. Father God, we just pray today for Robert that you would touch him and be with him, Lord. We pray for healing in his body. We ask that you just minister to him this very moment as this church prays and lifts him up to you. We ask that you just touch him right now and heal his body. Father, we pray for our nation. We pray, God, for the United States of America. We pray for a healing in our land, Lord. There's a lot of confusion and chaos going on. We pray, God, that you just sweep across this land by your Holy Spirit, minister peace and strength and calm. And Lord, that a great wind of revival would blow across this nation, just like 25 years ago on this day in Pensacola, Florida, Lord, at the Brownsville revival began. We pray, Lord, for another mighty move of your Spirit as happened then to happen again today in even greater ways. Lord, we just pray for the wind of the presence of God to blow across our nation. We pray for our president. We pray for our governor. We pray for all those in authority. We pray, Father God, that you would just heal our land. You said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will turn and forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. We pray for that healing today in our land. God, we just thank you, Lord, for this Father's Day. We thank you for all of our fathers. We thank you, Lord, for being our Heavenly Father, for taking care of us, for being our Savior and our Lord and our Shepherd and our Healer, our Provider, our Strength, our Joy, our Peace. We thank you, Father God, for giving your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, that we might know forgiveness, that we might be changed, that we might spend eternity in heaven with you, Lord. We thank you, God, that that day is coming. Because you said when you left that you would be back, that you would come again and you would receive us unto yourself. And we know that day is approaching. We just pray that we would all be ready that our children would be ready, and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. Pray, God, your will be done in all of our lives. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Carol and I spent this last week in Houston welcoming our sixth grandchild. Brinley Faith Rowland was born last Tuesday. And, of course, that's Debbie Rowland's granddaughter as well. And so knowing I was going to be gone all week and knowing that I was going to be spending a lot of time with my grandsons and welcoming a new grandbaby, a week and a half or so ago, I contacted Pastor Dean and I said, might you be available on Father's Day? And he said, yeah, I believe I am. So I said, well, I would really like for you to come on Father's Day so that I can be free to enjoy those grandkids all week. So that's what we've done. And Pastor Dean and Joy Guthrie were on staff here starting in 2005 to 2010 or 9 or something like that. And then New Year's Eve, 2009. Then Brother Cargill in the Oklahoma District stole him from this church, put him in charge of all of the children's ministries of the state of Oklahoma. So I think they got a good guy and a good family. And Dean and Joy are well-loved here and certainly well-loved across our district as our district children's ministry pastors. And so we're glad to have them back this morning. Would you help me welcome Pastor Dean and Joy back to us today?
Good morning, good morning. Ha! I feel like I'm home. I feel like I make myself more comfortable. I may kick off my shoes here in a little bit. But, well, it is great to be here. Excuse me while I air out some dirty laundry. I'll just put it right there. Actually, it's not dirty laundry. It's clean. I'll just put it there for a little bit. But no, and Pastor Steve said, hey, would you be available to come preach? I was like, yeah, that's awesome. And then I went, just to preach. Come to just preach. I said, you mean all I've got to do is bring some notes and my Bible and preach? Because normally when Joy and I get asked to come to churches, I got to pack a trailer. I got to put a puppet stage in there. I got to throw in some lights. I got to throw in all this equipment. And so this morning was a light morning. So thank you, Pastor Steve. It was awesome. It was quite refreshing just to get up and grab my Bible. But I did have to bring an object lesson because you can take you can take the kid out of kids' church, but you can't take the kids' church out of the kids. So that's what the shirt's there. But we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But it is good to be here. Thank you, Pastor Steve, for inviting us back. It's taking you long enough. But anyway, no, I'm kidding. But it is such a pleasure to be here. Joy's with me as well. And I send huge hellos and highs and hugs and high fives and kisses from DJ and Tori. We're kind of in that transitional stage as parents right now of adjusting. We've got, I mean, I know what time it is, and I know today's Father's Day, but bear with me. I've got a 7-point sermon, so we'll get to that in a little while. But anyway, they think I'm kidding. But greetings from DJ and Tori. They're so bummed that they couldn't be here. But a lot is going on in the Guthrie family. DJ is now a children's pastor full-time at Christ Legacy in Oklahoma City. He's been there since October. Yeah! He spent a little bit of time out in Jones. You guys know where Jones, Oklahoma is. He was out there for about a year and a half part-time, and then this opportunity came available. And so he is there with his fiancée, Shelly. She is there with him. They actually went to the church together, and they were introduced back in October as this is the couple that's taken over. So she's kind of been with him there at Christ Legacy from the get-go. They are getting married in August, the end of August. So we're just now on the cusp of being involved in the wedding arrangements and things like that, and the ceremony and things like that. But it's awesome. I was telling somebody out there, I said, son, I know I'm a pastor, I know I'm a preacher, and I don't need to be any part of the ceremony. I just want to be there and be dad. I just want to enjoy the moment as dad that day. Okay, dad. 3 days later, he said, dad,
would you do me the honor of being my best man? I said, yes, son, sure.
Great, now I got responsibilities. But anyway, but no, it's really cool. Shelly's a wonderful girl. We love her to death. They actually, when we left here and went to Bethesda to start attending church after we went to the district office, him and her were kind of in the same youth group, kind of sort of there for just a little bit. So they knew each other already and for a little bit. But then, he, you know, like I said, he went off to Jones to be a children's pastor. And what was wild about this whole thing is that Joy and I, about, oh, it's been 2.5 years now, I think, hon. We actually moved to a new neighborhood in South Oklahoma City, and along that street were several people that actually went to the same church that we were attending from Bethesda. And DJ was at a point in his life, you know, he was, you know, 21, and he was, I don't want to say that, you know, he was putting himself out there on the market or anything like this. But he had had a couple of relationships, and he said, but these they were all over the state because we travel all over the state, and you know, our kids have friends everywhere we go. They make friends and stuff. And he said, I'm going to pray for somebody. Number one, I want a friend first. Come on, somebody. If you're looking for a lifetime mate, you just want to jump in and be all romantic. You need to have a best friend first. So I want a friend first, and I want her to live close. So That's what I'm going to pray for. I said, okay, bub, you pray that. Now, this is like, you know, sermon number one of seven that I'm going to give you this morning. Pray specifically. Pray, because you never know. God is a specific God. He's in on the details. So he says, I'm going to pray for a friend first. I'm going to pray for somebody to be closer or close to us. I said, that's great, bub. You do that. So, be careful what you pray for. Shelly lives right next door to us. They went out of town one day to go to Branson, forgot to find somebody to watch the dogs or go over and feed the dogs. So, oh, wait a minute, I have DJ's number because they were friends first. Let me call, see if he'll walk over and take care of the dog. So sure enough, she called him. He walked over to take care of the dog. And, Dad, will you go with me? Because it's kind of creepy going to somebody's house. I don't know. Yeah, I'll go with you. So we went over there. And so he goes, so he feeds the dog and loves on the dog for a little bit. He says, should I text her and say that everything's fine? And I said, nah, don't text her, man. Shoot her a selfie. And he's like, oh, so he's got the dog here. He's like. So every time he went over there, he sent her a selfie. Well, they get back from their little vacation a few days after that, and he's in his bedroom. It's kind of in the evening time. He's back in his bedroom, and he comes out of his bedroom. He's wearing, like, you know, just, we got sleep shorts and, you know, tank top or whatever, and his hair's all like this and stuff, and he's holding his phone. And he goes, hey, Shelly?
And he pointed.
Because her house is
right there.
She said, hey, what are you doing? I said, nothing. She said, you want to hang out? And I said, hold on. Dad, what do I do? I said, let me ask you a question. What are you doing still standing here? Go! So he comes back out, jeans, nice shirt, hair combed. I'll be back. He was gone for about 3 or 4 hours and came back over. Dad, it was so awesome. I said, what'd you do, bub? We hung out and talked with her mom and dad. I said, you hung out with mom and dad on the first time you going over there? Yeah, they even fed me. I said, what'd you have? He said, ribs. I said, dude, you're in. I said, you are in. So that sparked the whole, you know, the journey that we've been on now for about a year and a half, and so they're going to be getting married. So DJ's doing good. Tori, as a matter of fact, today, this is the first time in our life that the Guthrie family have split, and we are covering three churches today because DJ's on staff at Christ Legacy. I'm here with you guys, and Tori begins today is her first day as worship leader at Southside Assembly of God in Oklahoma City. Yeah. So I know some of you guys have been following her on Facebook and stuff, and so she's done really well over the years at Fine Arts and stuff. So she's starting there today. It looks like a beauty school has actually just came to live in a residence in my kitchen right now. It looks like a beauty school in there. She's getting ready for this Thursday to take her cosmetology, what do they call it? State board test for cosmetology. So she's going to be I think as one pastor said, she's going to be making people look good on the outside and the inside. You know, so she's taking care of, she's a full body treatment inside and out. But so really, 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 really proud of her and all that she's got going. So today's kind of I wouldn't say bittersweet. It's a different Father's Day. We actually celebrated yesterday because we knew that it was I was going to be here with you guys and they were going to be doing their things. But it is nice to be back. I asked Pastor Steve, I said, hey man, is there something specifically that you want for me to preach on? I know it's Father's Day I know that some pastors are, hey, it's Father's Day, we're going to talk about fathers, it's Mother's Day, we're going to talk about mothers, it's Christmas, we're going to talk about, but hey, since you guys are prolonging Easter, and Pastor Steve, as I look at this, I got to thinking about everything that went to and getting this message ready and that the fact that you guys are celebrating Easter, and then I realized I'm wearing this year's Easter shirt that I wore, was going to wear for Easter. We almost have an Easter sermon that we're going to talk about this morning. Is that okay if we just have Easter? Let's act like this is Resurrection Sunday. It is Easter Sunday morning, but you guys decided to go a little casual, okay? I don't see any Easter bonnets and all that kind of stuff. But before we get started, let's pray. Father, I thank you so much this morning that we are here together. We consider it an honor and a privilege to be here in your house this morning, Lord, no matter what day it is. And Father, in these next few moments, Father, I ask that you open our hearts and our minds. And Lord, let me speak your truths and your words, Lord, this morning. And Lord, I pray that the things that I talk about this morning, Lord, that on the inside, Lord, that you would make us sticky. That these things that are said this morning and proclaimed from this platform, Lord, that they stick to our hearts, they stick to our minds, they stick to our spirit, Lord. And we leave out of here different than the way we came in. And we give you glory, honor, and praise forever and ever in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, amen. All right, fathers, dads, how many of you guys got your Father's Day gifts already? You guys already got them? You already got your Father's Day gifts? All right, some of the things, I got a really cool thing. I have a shop now, hallelujah, and I like to go out there and make things, but I've gotten to where I'll collect little signs that I put up in my shop, you know, like warning, you know, be on the lookout for flying tools, things like that. Or one of my favorite ones, it says, and some of you guys that maybe do construction for a living will get this, it says, the longer the warning label, the better the tool. And it's got a little bit of blood spurt on the sign. It's very cool. So anyway, but so DJ and Tori got me a few signs to put up in my shop there. And then what it said, you guys ever seen those road signs that say dip ahead, you know, where the road's like, well, one it says dip ahead, and it's got the Three Stooges on it. So anyway, so that's kind of cool. And I got a shirt. How many guys got a shirt for Father's Day? Ah, yeah, I got a shirt back there. This is not the shirt that the kids got me, but they did get me a t-shirt that said, and it doesn't say dad, but you know, I play guitar, I'm a musician, all that kind of stuff too. But in chord chart, it says D, D chord, A chord, D chord. So it says it's a dad thing, you wouldn't understand, but you would understand it if you knew how to read music. But anyway. So you guys got the shirts this morning. So and the Father's Day is huge for getting shirts for Father's Day. Yesterday we celebrated with Joy's dad. Joy's sister got her dad a couple of shirts, you know, and we got him a little gift card for his favorite book place, but he got shirts. So this morning I want to share with you guys one of my favorite shirts that I have ever worn and ever owned. And it is this shirt that is right here. But, as you can tell, I'm kind of... can you say eccentric? I like loud shirts. I like wild things. And so if you notice this shirt, it's got, yeah, somebody just said, woo, yeah. Right now, the camera just went because of this shirt. But anyway, but as you can see, I love this shirt. It's got a green sleeve. It's got a blue sleeve. It's got a red back. It's got green and red and all this kind of stuff. What this looks like is there was a factory making red shirts, green shirts, and blue shirts. And when they got done, they said, okay, we got one of each color. What do we do? Let's make that shirt. Guess what? They did that. I saw it. I bought it. Okay. I love this shirt. And speaking of Easter shirts, this was an Easter shirt a few years ago. Okay. I love this shirt. I like the way it fits. I like the way everything. I like the way it looks. I always get complimented on this shirt, but I quit wearing it. And no, it wasn't because it got too tight. I have been losing a few here lately. But if you notice right here on the pocket, right at the very bottom of the pocket, you guys see that? A little dark spot right there. I put an ink pen in my pocket at the office one day and forgot to retract it. And so a little pool of ink settled down into the pocket of my favorite shirt. Now, we've washed this thing dozens of times. I love this shirt. We've washed it dozens of times. We put stain remover on it. We tried Shout, but that didn't work. It just made a lot of noise. Ah! Didn't work. Shout is a laundry product. Never mind. Anyway, y'all got to wake up this morning. You'll miss something. Everything. And no matter what I could do, okay, no matter what I did, this stain will not come out of this shirt. Now, here's what I hope. I wish my mom was a miracle worker when she was around. She was a professional seamstress, and she would have done something, put me a really cool patch there or something, or maybe even just remove that pocket. Because I looked on the other side, and the stain's not really on the shirt. It's just on that pocket. But so for now, I guess what I'm going to have to do is, how many guys have yard shirts? You just wear them around the house. And that's usually dress shirts that got too tight that you cut the sleeves off. But anyway, or that's how they are. But no matter what I do, no matter what happens to this shirt, I can't get that stain out, because there is nothing that I can do to get that stain out of that shirt. And that's one of my favorite shirts, and I can't find that shirt. But you know what? People, us, we, them, those, they, all of us, are a lot like that shirt. Our lives become stained almost on a daily basis if we're not careful. But every once in a while, there is a stain that happens. Our lives can become stained. It can become dirty by sin. And much like this shirt, if I was to put on that shirt, I guarantee you, we'd be greeting at each other. Oh, you got a little something on your shirt. Yeah, I do. You know? But much like this shirt, we become stained with sin, or we become stained with problems. But the good news is, there is something that will get those stains out. There is something that will help get those things out. Now, like I said, I've tried a lot of things to get this thing out. I've tried several different laundry soaps. I've tried, like I said, shouting it out. Pre-scrub, pre-treat, post-treat, gentle cycle, hard cycle. We put it on the cycle. I tell you what, we tried to find a washing machine. All we could find were those economic, low water, save the earth. You know, what about the trees? I don't care about the trees. I want the stain out of my shirt. And he goes, well, this is high efficiency. I said, I don't want high efficiency. I want a water guzzling, pumping, sucking, sud sucking washing machine that'll get my shirts clean. That's what I want. But sometimes we are just like this shirt. We have those stains. And sometimes we think, well, you know what? If I just go to church, maybe my stain will come out. But going to church isn't enough. You know? I've heard it said, if going to church makes you a Christian, that means if you walk out in the parking lot and stand in the parking spot, you're a car. It doesn't work that way, right? And so then some people think, maybe if I get baptized, you know, I'll get clean, because you get the outside wet. Maybe it'll wash the inside. Well, you know, the act of baptism is one of the ordinances of the church. And yes, we should follow Christ's example and be baptized. But just the action of being baptized doesn't get the stains out. And there's only one thing that can get the stains out, and that is the overcoming, washes white as snow, blood of Jesus Christ. That's what gets the life stains. That's what gets our stains out of off of us. That's what erases the stain of sin in our lives. I may never get that stain out of my shirt, and perhaps it's hopeless, but it's not hopeless to get the stain out of our lives. The blood of Jesus can wash away even the worst stains in our life. The Bible says, wash me and I shall be white as snow. Perhaps some of us this morning have tried everything to get that stain out. We've tried everything to forget our problems, or we've tried everything to get out of certain situations in our life that may have seemed hopeless, but it can be only by the blood of Jesus.
Have we tried Jesus? Jesus is a great stain remover. It's the only stain remover you need. And it's by the blood of Jesus that we are cleansed from those stains. I find that kind of funny too, because have you guys ever seen those soap commercials on TV where they talk about removes even the most common of stains? Dirt, okay, dirt's common. Grass is common. And blood. If blood is a common stain on your shirts, you've got more problems than what soap you're using in your washing machine. Our blood stains clothes. Jesus' blood washes our stains out. So this morning, and I wasn't kidding when I said I had 7 points. I have 7 points this morning. And all of them are about 20 minutes long. So no, I'm kidding. They're not. But I just kind of want to just kind of do an overview of what exactly can the blood of Jesus do. Yeah, we say it erases the sin. But let's talk just a little bit deeper into the things that the blood of Jesus can do for us. And the first and foremost thing that it does is, number one, is that Jesus' blood forgives us. Forgives us of our sins. It says, you and I have been forgiven through the blood that Jesus shed when he gave up his life. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Now, close to the first of the year, I decided I was going to restart over. And you read the Bible through in a year. So I got on this Bible reading plan where you can read the Bible through in a year. Hey, listen, there are some Bible reading plans. I got to looking at them. You know, you can read the Bible through in 6 months, read the Bible through in 30 days. I mean, it's outrageous, some of these plans, you know. But I decided to do the read the Bible through in a year. And so I got through Genesis, Exodus. I hit Leviticus. You want to talk about a bloody book. Every time you turn around, bring the animal, sacrifice the animal, put the blood on the altar. My goodness, every single turn. And there was the different sacrifices for the different sins and the different cleansing. I'm thinking, man, you had to go to butcher school before you could be a priest back in the Old Testament. I'm thinking, my goodness. And you know, they talk about the ornament and the robes and this and the blood. And I'm complaining because I got a little ink stain on my shirt. Imagine them. Every time you turn around, you bring them a sacrifice. They'd sprinkle it on the altar. Very, 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 very bloody. And then we go even, you know, and then we talk about, you know, back in the Old Testament, during the Exodus, where they put the blood post over the door because, you know, when the death angel came, because it was washed with blood. Washed with blood of what? Of a spotless, perfect sacrifice. Jesus is our spotless, perfect sacrifice. So without the shedding of Jesus' blood, there is no forgiveness. Aren't you glad you're forgiven this morning? I'm glad I'm forgiven this morning. I am so glad that I'm forgiven, that Jesus forgave my sins. And when we say, Jesus, please forgive my sins, it was because of that blood that was shed that we are forgiven. The second thing is that the blood does for us is that it cleanses us. Not only does it forgive us, but it cleanses us. You know, when most of you guys know this from when I was here previously, I was an only child. And some of you guys are thinking that never met me going, oh, that's why he's like that. But anyway, I was an only child. If something was broken in the house, I did it. I did it. I didn't have anybody I can blame it on. I didn't have any brothers or sisters. It wasn't me, you know. I saw this on a Family Circus comic strip. You guys remember Family Circus? It had this, the mom would ask the kids, hey, who broke this dish? Not me. Who left, you know, this open? Not me. And it showed this little invisible outline of this little thing running in this sign that said, not me. So I had this little invisible guy running around my house whose name was not me because I didn't do anything wrong. But what is awesome about that is that anytime anything was broken, it was me, okay? So imagine this. If I broke a cup or if I broke a plate or if I, you know, accidentally put a ham cheese sandwich into the VCR, it happens. I mistook it for a toaster. What happens is mom and dad can forgive that. But you know what? It's still broken. You know, it's still broken. But what happens is
after they forgive, they say, you know what? We need to clean that cup up. Come on, I'll help you clean that up. You know, same thing with the blood of Jesus. Number one, we got to be forgiven. Yes, Jesus will forgive us. But the next thing is cleaning it up. He cleanses us. Hebrews 9:14. Well, actually, let me go up just a little bit higher than that. Verse 13. Hebrews chapter 19, verse 13 says this, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so they are outwardly clean. Outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciousness from acts that lead to death, and that we may serve the living God? How much more will Jesus' blood cleanse us from the things that we've done wrong? So is the blood of Jesus. It forgives us. It cleans us. It helps clean up the mess. And the third thing that it does is that it redeems us. Redemption. Forgiven and cleansed. We find that we have been redeemed from the clutches of the powers of darkness. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. We've been redeemed, forgiven, cleansed, made new. I've got these birdhouses. And I already mentioned the Three Stooges once. I've got these birdhouses that are sitting in my shop waiting for time, waiting for me to have time. And I bought these years and years ago for my mom. And they're literally Three Stooges. I don't know why the Three Stooges are getting so much attention today. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Anyway. But one of them is Mo, one of them is Larry, one of them is Curly. But they've been weathered and they've been hung out for years. And I told Joy, I said, hey, I'm going to dig those things out, and I am going to sand them down, repaint them, and make them look good, and I'm going to put them up in our backyard. And so I went to go get them, and I picked them up, and there is no salvaging these things. I mean, the wood is split. I mean, if you sneeze on it real hard, they may just turn to dust. I mean, they're covered. They're caked with dirt, mud, muck, mire. I mean, all kinds of bird poo, all kinds of stuff on there, okay? And so I told Joy, I said, listen, I think what I'm going to do is just use that as a pattern and take it apart and just make it up, use that as a pattern to make a new one. And so they're sitting in my shop right now waiting for the time for me to do that. And so then I got to thinking, oh my gosh, this is just exactly what we're talking about when it talks about being redeemed, forgiven, and cleansed. When I look at those birdhouses, I say, you know what? There's no hope for those. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take what they look like, the image of what they are, and try to recreate them somewhere else. Recreate them with new wood. Recreate them with new glue, new nails, new paint. And then let's see what it looks like. Think about that. Isn't that what God does with us? He pulls us up and we're weathered and we don't look good. And there's just, we're not happy. Our emotions are going crazy. And he says, you know what? You don't look good. You need an overhaul. So you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. You're still going to be you, but here's what I'm going to do. I've got this likeness. Jesus Christ. I've got this likeness that I'm going to use as a pattern. And I'm going to reform you. You're still going to be the same person. But there's going to be something different about you. So he redeems us, makes us new, cleanses us. That's what the blood of Jesus does. This next one's my favorite. This is number four if you're counting. Justifications. Pastor Steve, I thought it'd be kind of cool one of these days. You know, a lot of people speak Christianese. Justification is one of those big words. You know, I think it'd be kind of cool to do just a sermon series of all the ifications in the Bible, all those big long words in the Bible, and just break them down like sanctification, justification, have a vacation, whatever. But here goes justification. This is so awesome. It's one thing to believe that you're forgiven, one thing to believe that you're cleansed and redeemed, but it's another to believe that it is just as if you've never sinned before in the first place. 2 Corinthians says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We are sorry dogs. We are full of sin. We are full of all this yuck in our lives. But because of the justification of Jesus Christ and of God the Father, we can become justified. Pastor Dean, what does that mean? I'm glad you asked. It means exactly what I just said. It's just as if you've never sinned in the first place. Justification. Just as if I never sinned. You know, we hear a lot about that sea of forgetfulness that Jesus has. And let me put you in more the way my brain thinks. Oh yeah, Pastor Steve just said, uh-oh. Lunch. You love it, right? How many of you guys growing up in school ever brown bag it? You guys know, yeah, took your own lunch, you know? Now, I will have to say there were more times than not that I had a really spiffy-looking lunchbox rather than a brown bag, you know? And especially if you come to our house, Joy is a collector of lunchboxes. She collects the squared lunchboxes, and I think we have them all displayed except for the ones that I stole from her that has superheroes on them. They're in my room. But anyway, but we have about 100 in our that are outlined, the whole outline of our kitchen. You guys just come over today after church. You can see them. But Joy went, oh, my gosh, it still looks like a beauty school in there. But anyway, so we've got all these lunch boxes. Now, how do you guys remember going to lunch, you know, when mom and dad would pack your lunch, or maybe you'd pack your lunch with something good, and you thought about it all day long, you know, whether that peanut butter and jelly sandwich or when mom bought the name brand chips that week. You know, when you had some Pringles or some chili cheese Fritos or Twinkie. You want to have power at lunchtime. Have a Twinkie in your lunchbox. You have the power. But sometimes mom and dad would pack that lunch and there wouldn't be really anything good in, you know, like liver and onions. I loved it at my house when my mom made liver and onions. You know why? Because that meant I was eating at a friend's house that night. Don't do the liver and onions. Now, listen, as I get older, though, I still don't do liver and onions. Boy, I can tear into some chicken livers, though. Woo! Come on, somebody. Chicken livers? Pastor Steve? Oh, not so much. Oh, okay. I like chicken livers. But anyway, but not that. So here's what I'm saying. But sitting in the lunchroom, if you could get some poor sap, I mean, a friend of yours, to trade up. Let's say you trade that liver and onions for maybe a meatloaf sandwich or PB&J with the crust trimmed off. That would be a trade up. That'd be a good trade. You know, if you were able to get rid of something yuck and get something good, you know. But when it comes to that kind of things, I got to thinking about this. How would Jesus do that? Jesus would be, and this is going to, you guys are going to say, oh, Jesus wouldn't be good at that. Do you know that? He would not be good in that. Because when you take your junk, when you take your smelly old liver and onion, rye bread, crusty, and you say, here, Jesus, guess what? You trade up. That's exactly, Jesus doesn't know how to trade bad lunches. Because he doesn't look at our mess or look at our and say, no, I'm not going to take that. He takes that from us. And the most beautiful thing about that is this word right here, justification. It's as if it never happened. Jesus, through the blood of Jesus, God literally and physically forgives and forgets. See, people, humans, we have a problem with the forgetting part. You know, because you can forgive somebody. But can you really forget it? No, because it's back here some, yeah, you know. Now you can act like, oh, yeah, it's in the past. Yeah, it's the past. It ran through my mind last night. But anyway. But with justification, what God does, it's done. It's as if it had never happened. Justification, justified, just as if I've never sinned. Justification. So we've got the blood of Jesus forgives, the blood of Jesus cleanses, the blood of Jesus redeems, the blood of Jesus justifies. The fifth thing is sanctification. It says, now we can take it one step further and declare that we have been set apart for a holy calling, which means sanctified. Each believer is a special vessel set apart for God. Only Jesus' blood can make this possible. I'm going to go back here in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. My little marker fell out, but that's okay. There it is right there. Matthew chapter 7, and read this. Listen to this. 7:14 says this. Oh, let's go up to 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Why? Because people, new Christians, and maybe seasoned veterans, I don't know, sometimes have a part of separating themselves from their sins. There's sanctification. That's one of those occasion words that we got to talk about. Sanctification means to be set apart. Sanctified means to be set apart. And let me tell you something. When you're down at the altar, you say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I want you to cleanse me. I want you to make me whole. I want to be saved. Sanctification happens right then. Shoom, you're set apart. Boom, you're away from your sin. But the problem is, with society today, is that they may make it right as they turn out of the church parking lot and they enter right back to where they were. Because there's that separation, okay? Sanctification, I don't want to blow your minds, is not just a one-time thing to be separated. Yes, there's that one time it happens when you say, Jesus, come into my heart. But sanctification is an ongoing process. Sanctification is a daily process. It was Paul that said, you know, I die daily. And what that means is Paul had to get up, just like us, put his pants on one leg at a time. Nope. Had to put his robe on over his head. Anyway, but he was just like us. And even the Apostle Paul, whom we revere and we hold high and think, man, if there's anybody that sat at the right hand of the right hand of the Father, no, let me try that again, the right hand of the right hand of the right hand of the right hand of the Father, it would be Paul. Because you got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and Paul. He's right there. No, Paul was just like us. Every day he had to die to his sin. Every day he's got to step further and further apart to leave that sin behind, to be sanctified, to be set apart on a daily. So there's that instantaneous sanctification that happens when you say, Jesus, come into my heart. And you got that daily. It's got to happen every day. Every day. Every day, it's you I live for. There you go, Glenna. There's your song. Glenna asked me, was I going to sing today? I just sang. Every day, to be set apart. Because of him, because of the blood of Jesus, we can walk that narrow path. And that may get tough and it may get kind of tricky. But once, if we sanctify and separate ourselves from our sin, from our way of living, from our former thoughts, we'll be sanctified. Because of Jesus' blood, we can also have perfect peace. There will be plenty of battles to fight, but the outcome has already been determined on Calvary. Think about it. Colossians 1:20 says, it was through what his son did that God cleared a path for everything to come to him, all things in heaven and earth. For Christ's death on the cross has made peace with God for all by his blood. It was the blood that gives us peace. I'm reminded so much. I mean, I remember seeing this when I was a new Christian back in 19. And I think it was this last Easter. Well, it should have been Easter. It was my spiritual birthday. I was 30 years old. Bless God to see 30 years old again. Come on, somebody. Whew. But the peace. And I'm reminded of this saying, too, as we see the things that have been transpiring in our nation here lately. To see everything that's been going on, you know, the
with the rioting and the protests and the violence, and that's just Oklahoma City. But I'm reminded, they said, we want peace, we want peace. And I'm reminded, Pastor Steve, you probably remember this. It was like T-shirts, bumper stickers. It said, no God, N-O God, no peace, N-O peace. But then it said, K-N-O-W, God, K-N-O-W, peace. Our answer does not lie within the halls of our state capital. Our answer does not lie in the halls of our nation's capital. And there is nowhere in the world, the earth, is that the answer lies. The answer lies in the heavens above. And it's until we raise our head toward heaven and say, God, I think that's scriptural. If my people, we the people, whoa, come on, I just got that right then. We'll cry out to God. Humble themselves first. Humble. Humble ourselves. Humble ourselves, which means don't be all up, hey, listen, yeah, I want this. Humble ourselves. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I was wrong. Humble themselves. Seek my face. Turn from their evil ways. Then I will bless this land. I will answer their prayers and bless. Peace that passes all understanding. And the last thing. This is the one that's 45 minutes long. I'm kidding. There's access to the throne. The blood of Jesus gives us access to the throne. Jesus' blood is made possible for your complete reconciliation with the Holy Father in heaven. Now, covered as you are in the blood of Jesus, you are like the high priest. Remember the priest that we were talking about a while ago that would sprinkle the blood on the altar? And do the sacrifices for us. And then we had a high priest that would actually, he would be the only one that was allowed to go into the inner tabernacle, in the inner sanctuary, where the presence of God was on our behalf. You know, that's kind of like saying, hey, dude, will you throw up a little prayer for me? I'd appreciate it. That's that's what he would do. He would go in there. But because of that, Hebrews 10:19 says, and so, dear brothers, now we may walk right into the very holy of holies where God is because of the blood of Jesus. And you guys can remember on that evening when Jesus said, it is finished. Boom, his head dropped, and then everything started shaking. The earth started shaking. The tabernacle started shaking. Things were falling. Storm hit, winds hit, rain hit, thunder, lightning. And then right smack dab in the middle of the tabernacle, what happened? Rip! Why? Because it made a good Bible story? No. Because what happens then is when that veil ripped, what happened was is we no longer need somebody else to go behind that veil to go talk to God. We can go right straight to the source. You know, how many guys, you know, you hear stories from people and you think, I think you better check your facts. You know, you tell them, why don't you go back to the source? We've got the source. We've got the source. We've got everything. We can go to the Father ourselves now. We don't need anybody praying on our behalf. We don't say, hey, listen, here's what I've done. Would you make sure to see if God will forgive me for that? We can go right straight to the Father because of the shed blood of Jesus. And what he has done, we can go straight to the Father. There is no mediator. I mean, there is no go-between. We say, Jesus, come into my heart. Boom, we got access to the Father. We got access to the Father. It's been a while. Didn't we used to have a phone up here that went back to there? Talk to the sound folks. It's kind of like that. Back in the day, we needed the phone to talk to Miss Carol back there in the sound booth. But you know what? We don't need that anymore. Hey, Carol, turn it up. You know, there is no phone. When the veil ripped, we didn't have to go to somebody and say, hey, can you ask Jesus to forgive me? Or can you ask God to forgive me? We go straight to the source. We don't have to go to, come on. We don't have, sorry, I'm getting it first, then I'm going to tell you. People aren't used to going to the source. to find out forgiveness, to go to God, to go to the heavens and just open. They want to go through other means. I don't get checking horoscopes. I don't get it. Number one, you don't need somebody else to tell you how you want your life to turn out when you go to God and say, God, direct my paths and help me. And why in the world would you look at one of God's creation to tell you how to live your life and the choices to make when you can go to the one that made them? Why look to the stars when you can go to the one that spoke them into existence and made them? We are God's creation. Sometimes these people that are all into, Joy's going, oh, dear God, what is he doing? We get so wrapped up in alternative ways to find peace, alternative ways to find answers. And we look to God's creation. Well, I like just going out and getting the spirit of the trees and the spirit of the leaves and being out in nature. You know what? That's God's handiwork. That's just God's handiwork. My dad, when I was a kid, he had this little shop that he had, and he'd go in there, and he's working on something. And, you know, I'd come in there and say, hey, Dad, what you building? And I'm thinking, you know, he's putting together a cedar oak chest. He's putting a new door. And he was just making these little things, and he called it piddling. I'm just piddling. He's just piddling. Not to discredit the creation of this wonderful earth that we live in, but you know what? When God created everything on the earth, created the earth, guess what? He's piddling. He spoke it into existence. Hey, let's get some, let's get this vast expanse. Let's call it heaven. It happened. You know, it'd be really cool if we had this thing called the sun and the moon and the stars. It happened. You know what? Let's fish. Fish would be cool. Water. Well, we need water first. Yeah, let's do water. And everything that he said just happened. But then we go to us. The Bible didn't say he spoke man into his existence. The Bible says he took from what he'd already spoken together and formed man. He made us in his image. And then he breathed life into us. God wasn't piddling when he made us. We are his masterpiece. We are his creation, formed from his own hands. That's how much he loves us. Musicians, if you guys want to go ahead and start coming this way. We are his masterpiece. But what it all boils down to is, are you washed in the blood? I'm throwing out hints, guys. Are you washed in the blood? Is the blood our strength? Don, are you catching these? Okay, just checking. Have you received forgiveness? Are you cleansed? Do you want to be restored? Justified, forgetting that it ever happened. Sanctified. Some of us have been saved for years. We need a little bit of sanctification, maybe. Peace. Access to the throne. Everybody would just stand right now. I asked Pastor Steve how you guys have been doing altar calls. Some churches that we've been to have been, hey, stay right there where you're at. Some have been, hey, come down to the Ford. So I'm just going to, wherever, whatever you are comfortable doing this morning, whatever you want to do, you go right ahead. If you want to come down here in just a few moments, there'll be somebody down here to meet you. I just want you to close your eyes for just a second. I think by some of the things that I've said this morning, I don't think there's anybody in this room that can honestly tell themselves, you know what, Pastor Dean, that was a good sermon, but I think I'm covered. I think I've maybe out of those seven things that I talked about this morning, there's at least one that we can work on. I stood up here and preached it, and I know there's a couple on there I can even work on. Because I know that I may be called to preach, but I'm not perfect.
So if you're in this morning, say, you know, Brother Dean, yes, I need to be cleansed. I need to be sanctified. I need to ask Jesus to forgive me. I think this is how we'll do it this morning. That's me this morning. I'm still holding on to thoughts of guilt from my former life that I can't let loose, and I'm not real sure that God will forgive me. I need to be justified. That's the sweet thing. There is a sea of forgetfulness. God does use it on a regular basis. And when we say, God, please forgive me, he throws those away and will not hold you accountable to the former things that you've done in your former life. But if you say, Brother Dean, I need a touch from Jesus this morning. I want to feel him. Here's what I want you to do. I just kind of want you to step out wherever you're at. Just make it to an aisle. Just step out right where you're at. And say, Brother Dean, I need to be cleansed by the blood. I need to feel Jesus. I want to make things right this morning. So if that's you right now, please step out. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise this morning, Lord. We thank you so much. Father, we thank you for the shed blood that was shed for us. We thank you for these people that are willing to receive justification, sanctification. Hallelujah. Just a couple more seconds. Father, I thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you. Thank you, Lord. Now, here's what we're going to do, Pastor Steve. If it's okay with you, everybody that has not stepped out, they're going to be my altar workers. And if you'd look up right now, if you see somebody standing kind of out in the aisle and you see them, go to them right now and pray for them. Let's go right now. Go right now. I see two. Nobody's working. Come on. Help me out. There you go. Father, I thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes. There you go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. We thank you. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you so much, Lord God. Well, I think that you are a God of answers, Lord. I think that you are a God that loves us. And I thank you, Lord, that you can forgive us. Your blood cleanses. Your blood sanctifies. Your blood justifies, brings us peace, Lord, but ultimately gives us access to you 24/7, 365. Father, I thank you so much for those that have stepped out in faith today, Lord God, that you would meet their needs, that you would meet their concerns, Lord God, that you would heal their hearts, that you would heal their spirits, that you would heal their minds, Lord, and cleanse them, Father, and cover us all by your wonderful blood in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's worship as the worship team wraps us up here in song.
Lord, speak to me now.
have all my attention. I will linger and listen. I can't miss a thing. And Lord, I know my heart wants more of you. My heart wants something new, so I surrender. Breath in my soul, hold the life in my bones. There is no hesitation, and your love and affection, it's the sweetest of all. And Lord, I know my heart wants more of you. My heart wants something new, so I surrender.
Are you desperate for a touch of heaven in your life? Father God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your blood that your Son shed on the cross for our sin. Thank you for the wonderful message Pastor Dean has given us this morning, Lord, on the benefits of knowing you as our Lord and Savior. We pray, God, that you would just go with us today, Lord, and help us, Father God, to totally be in tune with you, worship you, follow after you, be led by you, and be empowered by you to serve you in every area of our life. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you tell Pastor Dean you're thankful for him being with us today? And Joy, bless you guys. We love you. Have a great Father's Day.